It is a terrific honor to welcome to this program Dr. Mark Thornton. He is an economist and a senior fellow at the Mises Institute. Mark, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for being with us. I certainly appreciate your time.
Good afternoon, Coy. Good afternoon, Charlottesville. It's great to be here.
So I want to ask about the latest that we know about the what the NSA is up to. And the larger question that we want to communicate to Americans, Mark, is why should we care? Because so many people have two reactions. You know what? I'm not surprised the government is spying on their own citizens without warrants. And but I'm not doing anything wrong. So why should I care? And that's the question, Mark. Tell us what we know and why should we care?
Well, I mean, the vast majority of people, you know, support what Mr. Snowden did and are repulsed by the whole idea of finally figuring out, as most of us suspected, that the government's been spying on us 1984 style. And so what we know so far is that they haven't been telling us the truth either, basically, and they've been leaking out information, and it's contradictory. But basically, the two programs that we know about are them monitoring our emails and monitoring our phone records. But in actual fact, they can actually read those emails and they can actually listen to those phone conversations if they choose. It's true that they're vacuuming up all the records, but they can also actually read and listen to what we're doing. And I think it's telling that in the most recent investigation in Congress that NSA, you know, prior to that, they admitted to a couple of dozen terrorist plots thwarted. And then under oath, testifying before Congress, they said only a few plots were uncovered. And then just recently, I think it was yesterday in the paper, that the NSA chief said at least 50. And so we're getting contradictory information every day.
Tomorrow it'll be 100.
Well, yes, of course. But what does this mean that they've thwarted these terrorist attacks? You know, I don't buy into that at all, because this is largely a backward-looking project where once the attack has occurred, they can use those records to figure out who are the accomplices that are involved in such plots. But, you know, before that committee of Congress, after the congressmen and senators came out of there, one congressman said that what we see in the media, what we know about these programs, is only the tip of the iceberg. Okay, the tip of the iceberg is the smallest part of the iceberg and the least dangerous. The underneath part of the iceberg is the gigantic portion that is, of course, the most dangerous, the thing that sunk the Titanic. And in fact, another senator came out of the hearing and he said, and this is a senator on the senior ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and he said he knew nothing of what the NSA was up to. So the fact that a ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security Committee doesn't know anything about this gigantic program, this clearly unconstitutional, immoral, unethical program, whereby they make up their own courts who then decide that things are okay, which is, of course, totally illegitimate.
Now, Mark, what do you say that somebody who says, Mark, it's a fair point. It is unconstitutional, but it's 2013. There are terrorists that want to kill Americans. There are terrorists who are every day thinking up new ways that they can hurt this country and kill the people we love. And we have to take extraordinary measures to ensure the safety of this great country. And the NSA is just doing what it needs to do to protect us. That it's about safety.
Well, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, the idea that you have to monitor every American's phone calls and email messages and who God knows what else they're doing, when they're simultaneously admitting that they've basically broken the back of Al-Qaeda. And that they're already, you know, they've already, of course, monitoring suspicious phone calls outside of the country. So why do they have to monitor the phone calls inside the country of Americans, which is against the Constitution? The cost-benefit analysis isn't even close, given the fact that they themselves have admitted that the Al-Qaeda and like-minded groups, their back has been broken. And, you know, there are other terrorist groups in the world, but they don't have their focus on the United States. Yeah, they have their focus in European countries and Russia and Chechnya and other places.
We're honored to be talking with Dr. Mark Thornton. He is a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Alabama. It is the World Research and Education Center for the Austrian School of Economics. Mark, I got one question for you. Dick Cheney said that Edward Snowden, the man who blew the whistle on this, is a traitor to his country. Is he a traitor?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, Mr. Snowden said that that was the greatest honor that he could receive, is to be called a traitor by Dick Cheney, who, of course, is a neocon warmonger, profiteer at Halliburton, probably one of the most evil persons in the government in the last quarter century. And, you know, to be called a traitor by someone like that, I think, is indeed an honor. The lengths that he went to go to lie to the American people to get us into war in Iraq, and the fact that thousands of Americans died over there, the fact that thousands of Americans were maimed over there, the fact that thousands of soldiers came back with post-traumatic stress disorder, the fact that American soldiers are dying more from suicides this year than are dying in battlefields. And it's all largely because of Dick Cheney and the interests that he represents. And, you know, this is just so far out of control. Yesterday on our website, Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org, Professor Robert Higgs detailed the extent of the amount of spending and employment and resources that are just wasted in the national security state. And I think that if you saw that, it's not a very long article, but it's very telling, and it's very shocking, the amount of people, highly paid people, who are involved in all of this spying, both abroad and here in the United States.
Yeah, and you can look at Eisenhower's speech about the war machine and expressing concern about that. But you could also go back to the founding fathers. Jefferson and Madison wrote extensively and warned us to beware of the warlords, beware of those who profit from war because they want to take your government and keep you in a state of perpetual war that will empower them, enrich them, and keep you afraid. And as long as you are afraid and you feel threatened, then you'll be happily willing to give up your freedom and your liberty to ensure your safety.
Yes, and how about Benjamin Franklin, maybe the wisest and level-headedest founding father, who said that those who are willing to trade away their liberty for security will neither achieve nor do they deserve either. So he put it in very stark terms, in the sense that if you're willing to trade away your liberty to get a little more security, you're not going to get it, and you don't deserve it. And, you know, that's the way the world works. And, you know, part of the reason we had American Revolution is because of the fact that Britain was taking away our privacy and stationing soldiers in our houses and barns and doing all sorts of things that infringed upon our liberties.
And they had rights. I mean, the English Constitution, the English Bill of Rights of 1689 ensured these liberties to the colonists, and they were violated at every turn. And the American Revolution was a revolution to restore. In many ways, it was a conservative revolution to restore rights that they felt and they knew had been stolen from them by Parliament and by a king.
Yes, and, you know, the founding fathers were brilliant people who, you know, thought through this and meticulously and legalistically made their case to Britain to reform itself. The Declaration of Independence was a warning about, you know, what the American people were, the stage of suppression that they were at that time. And if the king had listened, we might all still be English citizens.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Thornton of the Mises Institute. You can learn more online at Mises.org. It's M-I-S-E-S. Mark, let me take this to the next step now. We know the government is violating the Constitution. It's corrupt. It's bloated. It's wasteful. We know that the president is sitting in the Oval Office deciding who to kill without recourse to any courts, including Americans, with flying robots overseas. What do we do? What are we to do as Americans at this point here in the first quarter of the 21st century? Aside from getting educated, which was number one on Jefferson's list, get educated as fast as you can about the issues of the day. And number two, participate and be heard. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what your politics are, right, left, up or down. Be heard. Get out there and be heard and participate. But what are we to do, Mark, about the news of the NSA? Because they're not about to stop. If anything, it's like, okay, well, you know, that horse is out of the barn, but we're not going to stop.
Well, I mean, first of all, we have to be a nation where we're not willing to trade away our liberty for our security. We have to be a nation where patriotism is understood not as just following along slavishly to the dictates of your government, but be willing to stand up against a powerful national government when it's doing something wrong, when it's doing something immorally, illegally, and so on and so forth. That's what we do here at the Mises Institute in a scientific way in terms of economics, history, and political science and so forth. And, you know, once the American people are cleansed of their weaknesses and become what the American founding fathers were, which were smart, dedicated, and clear thinking, the state itself cannot stand. These policies and these programs cannot stand if majority opinion is strongly against them. We don't have to do this violently, but we have to do it in an ideological revolution, which I think has already started. And I think that this Mr. Snowden is contributing to the fact that for the first time, I mean, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, you weren't even supposed to ask any kind of questions or have any kind of discussions about the CIA and the FBI and that sort of thing. And nobody even knew about the National Security Agency. It was referred to jokingly in Washington, D.C. as no such agency. And so we've come a long ways, and the change of, and I think the pace of change is only accelerating with, because the government is accelerating its efforts to destroy our liberties and seemingly to destroy the economy, all to the enrichment of the people in Washington, D.C., and in the government and the contractors and the big banks. And
yeah,
so forth.
Yeah. And that's an important point to make, Mark, and I want you to flesh that out, that there are institutions, there are companies, there are individuals who literally profit from the suppression of liberty, who profit from a bloated big government. I say all the time, you know, it's broken. Yeah, it's broken, and it was broken on purpose by the people who will profit off the fact that it's broken. So there's no motivation to fix it as long as it's broken. It was the same thing with Parliament in the 18th century. There were people who were making tons of money who told Patrick Henry to sit down and shut up and don't upset the apple cart. We're making money, boy. Be quiet. And that is the same case today.
Yeah, and as Dr. Higgs's article on Mises.org explains, there's thousands of these spies. And, of course, they're all making, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 to $300,000. And, you know, it's the big corporations who are benefiting from the cheap money policy at the Fed. The big corporations and the big banks in New York, there's tremendous beneficiaries here. And what we see now, we can actually see it in a macro scale, is that the richest and wealthiest group in America owns a humongous historical record portion of the wealth in the country. And the whole middle class has been battered down. And, of course, the lower income classes are all dependent upon government programs with 50 million people on food stamps alone. So all of this, it's basically fascism. I mean, if as an economist I was to describe the American economy, it would be a corporatocracy or fascism where privileged few people benefit tremendously while the rest of the people are drained of resources, opportunities, freedoms, and their privacy.
We're honored to be speaking with Dr. Mark Thornton. He is a senior fellow at the Mises Institute. It's online at Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S. He is an American economist of the Austrian school. And just to bring politics into this for a minute, Mark, there is these vested interests that you speak of who profit off the suppression of liberty. They create this theater of choice and this theater of democracy, and they profit as long as they keep Republicans and Democrats at each other's throats. They're going to be fine because they keep one half of America fighting the other half when we have a lot more in common than we realize.
Oh, yeah. I think describing it as theater is absolutely correct, because if you look at what's actually going on in Washington, D.C., the Democrats and the Republicans are fully aligned with one another with respect to things like having no budget to go by, just spending as much money as you want and borrowing as much money as you want. You know, Democrats and Republicans, Nancy Pelosi, Congressman Rogers, Congressman King, they all lined up, even though they're on different parties, they all lined up in support of the NSA, taking away our privacy so that government can have an easier job and give away high-paying jobs to their friends. And, of course, they're all very much in unison with respect to the Federal Reserve, the central bank, which is printing up money and buying up the government's bonds so that to keep down the interest rate on government bonds.
And meanwhile, they're ruining us, Mark. They're ruining this country.
Yeah, I mean, the big banks, the big corporations, they can get access to this cheap credit money. The government can get access to this cheap credit money. But if you go out on Main Street, it's really hard for small businesses, individuals to get a car or to get a house. The paperwork has grown enormously, and so they're strangling the middle class while enriching the privileged upper class. Now, I'm not saying all wealthy people are evil, and that
no, of course not. And we're not saying that you shouldn't try to get rich. That's not the point here. That's not
absolutely.
The point at all.
Yeah, absolutely. They've taken away that by creating this fascist economy where it's difficult to have economic mobility. You know, that was one of the hallmarks, the unknown hallmark of American success and the brilliance of America, is that economic mobility in the United States has always been tremendous, so that even somebody at the very lower incomes could in 5 or 10 years end up in one of the upper income classes, maybe for a few years, maybe just accumulate, you know, a nice pot of wealth, and then they might fall back down if their business doesn't succeed or they stop working or something like that. So economic mobility, the hallmark of American success and fairness, has been replaced by a system where privileged a few and the elite get all of the privileges and end up with, you know, tons of money. And so the financial sector, the government contract sector, and the government itself are being enriched.
And they certainly have the government they want. They can run their companies into the ground, and we will bail them out. And we'll provide a corporate safety net, but try to create a safety net for the poor or for middle-class Americans who are becoming the working poor. And, you know, people scream bloody murder. No, we can't do that.
Yes. I mean, you know, the bailouts were so indicative of that, where the money basically ended up in the hands of, you know, the people who own Goldman Sachs and the owners of Berkshire Hathaway. His name is not coming to me. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has been given essentially tens of billions of dollars as a result of the role that he played in the bailouts. He ended up, you know, getting some of his assets bailed out, and of course he was one of the largest stockholders in the big banks, and so he's made, you know, tons of money off of that. And then he has the audacity to say, you know, what we need to do is increase the taxes on the American people. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Dr. Mark Thornton is our guest. He is, of course, a senior fellow at the Mises Institute. Go to the website. It's Mises.org. There's lots to learn there. Mark, have we created a government that is worse and more foreboding and more dangerous than what the American colonists fought in the 18th century?
Wow, that's a great question. I think so. I mean, I think that they have the physical tools available to them, you know, the spying systems, the drones that they have, the fact that they have access to all of our financial records and have essentially given the CIA and the FBI access to all of our financial records, the whole country, you know. And so, they strong-armed Google and Yahoo and Apple into providing their customer records of their internet traffic and their phone traffic. And so they
This is outrageous. There's no reason somebody in Washington should know who you're calling and when. I mean, they have no unless they suspect you of a crime and they can go to a court and prove that to a judge, it's just absolutely outrageous and frightening that this kind of, and I don't care if you call it metadata or whatever, it just doesn't matter to me. They shouldn't be in, the government shouldn't be in that business.
Well, the only thing, Coy, that is a silver lining to the whole thing is that government is such a total blunderer that they're not really going to achieve anything. They probably won't, but it's certainly possible that they could arrest and convict people who would be wrongfully targeted, you know, because one terrorist calls you and then you call me and then I'm targeted and the police show up my doors and plant evidence and so forth. I mean,
yeah,
that's probably going to happen, but hopefully not on a massive scale.
What's happening with those drones overseas, you know, in places like Pakistan and Afghanistan. And we're indiscriminately killing thousands of innocent people with those flying robots.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just outrageous. You know, and it's so childish almost. It's so, you know, like you don't have any backbone. You can't fight a fight for yourself.
Yeah. But let's end on a positive note, because I believe in my heart that the best years of America are yet to come. But that every new generation is given its struggle, and we are given our fight and our task as citizens, our responsibility to ensure that we leave behind for our children and our children's children, that we leave these liberties and these freedoms stronger and more vibrant and more healthy than when we got them. That is our job.
There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, I think we've already achieved that in the sense that the current generation of college students that I'm familiar with and that have graduated in recent years and then been involved in the Ron Paul movement, you know, these are people who are going to be the leaders of tomorrow, and they're intellectually and ideologically sound, hardcore sound, unlike most of my generation and my parents' generation, who were infected by Cold War ideology that you had to follow in lockstep with whatever the state said. This generation is not going to take that, and the people who have already joined the movement of freedom, those are the people who are going to be the leaders of tomorrow in terms of politics, in terms of business, in terms of technology, in terms of entrepreneurship. And so I actually do have, in terms of the long run, I've always been an optimist, but I think now more than ever I'm an optimist that more people are coming to our sites and our programs and learning Austrian economics and seeing the scientific reasons why a free society, unregulated and untaxed by the government, works perfectly fine, and that the government itself doesn't add anything to the benefits of freedom. It only gets in the way, mucks things up, and provides special privileges for political friends.
Dr. Mark Thornton is an economist and a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute. Go to the website, mises.org. Mark, it's been a privilege, and I look forward to this opportunity again soon. Thank you very, very much.
Likewise, I'm sure.